At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
Today definitely feels like the seventh inning stretch, right? Or like the Super Bowl halftime show, where you have a break in the action. It's just a little bit longer than it should be. Tomorrow we have Canes game 3 against the Islanders. We have the NFL draft getting started. We have a whole tornado, or a hurricane, if you will, of sports news. And today, just getting ready for it, right? You got to mentally prepare. So I ask you this question about the Canes, because the more content I consume about the Canes game 2, the more it seems like they're charmed, right? I mean, 81-0 the Islanders were in that situation. Canes win. They break the record for game tying, the shortest amount of time in the NHL in the third period between your game tying and game winning goal. 9 seconds. It's going to be a tough one to break. Are they a team of destiny? Can the Canes even be the team of destiny? Can you be both the betting favorite to win the title and the team of destiny for a playoff run? Can those two things coexist? Being the team that executes that comeback, it makes you think something bigger may be at work, right? That charmed. We talked about it with NC State during their Final Four run, right? When they went up against Oakland, and I don't know how many of you remember, Jack Golke. Right, he was the star of the first day of the tournament, or that first round of the tournament, because Oakland, which is not even in California, ended up beating Kentucky, and then NC State, who had the goodwill from the ACC tournament, and Oakland went up against each other in the second round, and it felt like whichever team won was going to be the team of destiny, and then it became NC State, and they captivated the country. Can the Canes get on that type of run where, if say you're a fan of, I don't know, San Jose. Do you just go, well, if my team can't win it, that team looks like a fun one to root for, and it's the Carolina Hurricanes?
Let's go with it.
Is that possible? Maybe. I also think there's part of just the way they're built that is it plays into exciting games, which kind of makes people think they're into it, right? Like if you play that game, if you play an overtime game, if you play a one-goal game, if you play a game where you have to come from behind, people watching, they don't know if they like watching you, if they like watching the – it's like everything gets jumbled. They just know they had a good time. Luke DeCock, give him a hat tip on this this stat. The Canes have closed out 4 of the 7 series that they've won since 2019 in overtime. Over half of the series that they've won in the playoffs in the last, whatever that is, 6 years, have come with the clincher in overtime. I don't know. Like, you don't have to like the Canes to understand that's entertaining. Talk about a closeout game going to overtime and the goal and the celebration and the woo. Like, you don't have to like the Canes to like that. So I'm looking at it and saying this. I think the Canes can be a team of destiny. I don't think they're quite past that point. Here's my very, very simple rule for this. I think until you win a championship with that core, you can be the team of destiny. Once you win the championship, then you start talking about no new friends, no new fans. You're either with us or you weren't. But right now, there's space on the bandwagon. Come on. Open up the door. Slide on in. We'll scooch. We'll scooch.
We'll make room.
That's where it is right now. And I think it's a good time to get on the bandwagon. I think the run's going to be fun for the reason I said. They seem to be built for postseason excitement. Here's Rod Brind'Amour talking about Stephen Nason specifically being built for this time of year.
This type of hockey this time of year, those kind of guys really, I think, shine just because, you know, the value really ramps up in the little things, right? And so he does a lot of little things and that all add up. And so that's why I think you're talking about him now.
Nason's that way. I've had a really fun time watching Seth Jarvis transform into playoff Jarvy. There are certain players, and a lot of them on the Canes, that seem to be built for this time of year, which is why it's a good time to jump on the bandwagon, right? First round, if your team loses somewhere else and you want to jump on later, that's fine as well. But for right now, I think if you want to be a part of the vibe, it's a good time to jump on the bandwagon. Brett Pesce, the reports are out there that they are not expecting him back this series. The future, obviously an unknown, but Pesce being out means Tony D'Angelo time. Here's Rod Brindamore.
I mean, listen, he's been here before. We had him for a whole year, and like, he played almost every game. I mean, we know what we got in that player. That's why we went and got him. It's just unfortunate he didn't get to play much this year because we were healthy, and you know, but this is exactly why you want a guy like that around.
If this is exactly why you want Tony D'Angelo around, it's proof is in the pudding time, right? It's put him on the ice, and now it's this is why you're here. Now you have to succeed in that situation. I think that's a low-key and really an important spot because, and we've seen D'Angelo, name a defenseman that hasn't had this happen, mm-hmm. but it only takes 10 seconds of mental lapse or 10 seconds of not great energy, and you can completely change a game in the NHL. So if D'Angelo's out there, even if we were talking about, right, if you want to play the other five guys a bit more or even go down to just two pairs and play them a bunch more later on, if D'Angelo's playing 10 minutes, right, heck, if he's playing 8 minutes, that's enough to change. You got to be out there ready to roll. It is interesting. Made it pretty obvious D'Angelo's the guy, not Scott Morrow. I stand by the fact that publicly you're fully all in on D'Angelo right up until the moment you're not. It's interesting. D'Angelo was brought in for these situations. I think that's an interesting way to put it. Because at the beginning of the year, it looked like he was brought in to start all of the regular season.
Yeah, it's early in the year. They give him pretty much every chance early in the year, and then Chatfield is really the one that solidified things on the back end, him and Orlov.
Like, is this why he was brought in, or was he brought in for Chatfield to be this guy that's being brought in?
Well, it's interesting. I had to go back and look and see how they skated today, but the question is, do you put D'Angelo with Pesce to keep Orlov and Chatfield together because you know that pair works? Or are you going to have...
I did see it. I believe that's how they're doing it.
So I'm assuming that's what you're going to be, but that doesn't mean that you can't have more rotation of Brady Shea into the lineup and stuff a little bit more.
Yeah, so I just brought it up. Walt Ruff, team reporter, friend of the show. It's Slavin Burns, obviously, mm-hmm. Shea D'Angelo, Orlov Chatfield, and then they have Coughlin and Moreau skating as well.
Yeah, so the Canes, because the AHL seasons
open it all.
Yeah,
up
the AHL seasons ended for Dylan Coughlin, Max Comtois, as mm-hmm. well as Antti Raanta. So those guys all got brought up, you know, just to skate with the team because you never know if things keep getting crazier, you might need to call upon those guys.
Don't you put that evil on
me,
Ricky Bobby.
Hey, I'm just saying. That's why I knocked on wood while saying it. By the way, a lot of people were probably wondering about Jesper Foss, what the latest is on him. Rod was asked today, is he going to travel up to New York? And Rod said, probably not. So don't anticipate Jesper Foss playing in the next two games either. If he doesn't travel, he's not playing in the next two games. Simple as that.
And then they've hinted that he won't play in a game till he practices. So,
which is pretty common.
When he's not skating today, you're pretty confident in the next one. And also, you have a 2-0 lead, right? Don't rush 2-0 lead in the series.
Yeah.
Don't rush anybody back. At least not until the Islanders prove they can beat the guys you do have.
This is why, again, you got all the depth that you had. This mm-hmm. is the reason why you made all those moves. So you can handle two guys getting hurt, or even three. You can handle it.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
You still made the moves to do it. Because you learned last year when Svech got hurt.
I'm not even a superstitious person. It's just fun to make
to
yell that back at you.
But I remember today that it's like, oh, yeah, it was Jean-Gabriel Pageau that slashed Teuvo Teravainen in the first round last year, broke his hand, and he missed a chunk of time. So, oh, yeah, that's right. They had Teravainen and Svech out for chunks last year in the playoffs. It still got to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that a million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal. We are in the middle of the first round of the NHL playoffs, and we thought that was a perfect time to speak with Jamie Hirsch, NHL Network, on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Jamie, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll start with the obvious. After a win like Game 2 for the Canes, which was, they're going to write sonnets about it. Is the series over, or can the Islanders realistically fight back mentally?
I think the series is over, unfortunately, for the Islanders, because, the Islanders were not the better team in that game at all. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they were up 3-0, I mean, you can't let that go. Like, you had to get through that game and walk away saying, man, we really stole that one. We really lucked out. That's the only way in my mind that they come back in that series is if they somehow eke out that win. But the way in which they lost, like, I think it's easier if they had just gotten blown out and lost 5-0 to the Canes. But to feel like you really should have won the game even though you were thoroughly outplayed and you didn't, and you let 2 goals in 9 seconds and that was the difference late in the third period, like, that is gut-wrenching, heartbreaking stuff. And unfortunately, the Islanders know that all too well. It's happened time and time over the course of the season. It happened in the outdoor game, the stadium series against the Rangers. And so this is, unfortunately, a kind of like a here we go again mentality for at least Islanders fans. And I got to think a little bit of that might be creeping into the room as well.
That's exactly what Canes fans wanted to hear. if we take that and we look kind of beyond to what is hopefully a longer postseason run, how much would an extended Brett Pesce absence, if it ends up being longer than just this series, affect the Canes?
Oh, I mean, that would be huge. But the good thing is, I do think that they are so much deeper than they have been in years past. And, you know, while Pesci's certainly super valuable and their team defense is really good, their goaltending's been really good lately. And so I think, you know, what we've talked so often about the Canes come playoff time is, can they score goals? Can they get that depth scoring? And so they've kind of addressed that, I think, in the form of Jake Guentzel. I remember I was on here a day or two before the NHL trade deadline, and he was my number one guy, where I said, if the Canes can get Guentzel, I mean, he is the kind of game breaker that they need. And so I was super excited for them to see that they did go out and get him. And obviously, you guys know all too well how immediate those dividends have been paid off. So hopefully he just keeps it rolling. And he's, you know, personally, I know him back from Minnesota, where he grew up. I know his dad, and he used to coach at the University of Minnesota when I was covering the Golden Gophers back in my early days of reporting. And so I'm a huge Jake Guentzel fan, and I certainly root for him come playoff time.
Jamie Hirsch, NHL Network, connecting with us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. And you're right, I should have started with a hat tip for you for the Guentzel call before the deadline. But I think all of the goals and assists distracted me. He's scored so much and put up so much production that I forgot to bring up that you were there first.
Well, let's say I was not there first. I'm not going to go that far,
before the deadline, first might have been aggressive, but overcorrecting.
Yeah, his name was out there for a lot of people. I think it was a pretty well-known thing that he was the hot target and the biggest fish in the market. So I was just glad to see him land with a team that I think really needed someone like him. And I fully anticipate a deep playoff run for your team.
And ready for another transition here. You bring up fish. He now gets to play with Fishy, Sebastian Aho, and right, see, connections, segues.
There you go.
When you put those types of players, and Seth Jarvis and Svech, they're kind of all mixing up. There might be lacking that net front presence, but as the playoffs go on and get more physical, can you win with that kind of all finesse, all high IQ without that bruiser in that line?
Can. Like, I go back to, I think Colorado was a little bit of a finesse team. I mean, Nathan McKinnon, certainly a horse, and I don't know if I'd call him a finesse player per se. He just kind of blows through everybody. But, he's also not a huge net front guy either. So, you know, I think about the Avalanche as kind of the most recent, like, super skilled team that won the Cup. Vegas is a little bit harder nosed, harder to play against, that gritty style. So I don't know, but I do think that there is enough talent for sure, no matter how you get it done. And I think, you know, Gensel, even though he is a finesse player, like, he's scored some big time goals right in front of the net in his career, and especially in playoffs. I mean, I go back to his rookie season when they won the Cup, and he was a huge part of that team. And that was kind of when he first went on the map, and people were like, who is this kid? He's a gamer come playoff time. And he's proven to do that year after year.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Hey, Jamie, it's Dennis Cox. We've seen Boston in their series against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They go with Swayman and Allmark, the goalie rotation that we saw them have throughout the pretty much the entire regular season. The Canes had success with Kochetkov and Anderson over the last 6 weeks of the year. Should the Canes look to go to use a goalie rotation? Should they go with Kochetkov in Game 3?
I don't think so. I mean, especially the way that the Canes dominated that game and did end up winning. I think you just stick with your winning goalie for now. You know, the Boston situation is truly unique. And we talked about it yesterday on NHL Now, where I don't know that we've seen a Stanley Cup champion team have a true tandem 1A, 1B goalie approach for many, many years. I mean, we sat there, Brian Boyle, Mike Rupp, and I racked our brains trying to think of the last time that a true two-goalie system team won a Stanley Cup. So, you know, I'm not completely sold that that's the right approach, but I will say it's the right approach for Boston. And they truly do seem to love each other and cheer each other on. I think it's genuine. I think that there's a lot of trust in that organization and a lot of communication between the coach and the, you know, even the GM and the goalie coach and two guys themselves to kind of figure out, like, this is what we're going with. I am curious to see how that plays out if things start to go south, right? Like, when you're winning, it's easy to say, yep, doesn't matter. Every other game, that's when we're going to go with the guy. You know, we're going every other. But it is going to be interesting to see if they're really going to hold true to that approach if they start trailing in a series. Like, if Toronto ends up winning tonight, and who is it going to be? I think Swayman tonight. If he ends up putting up a stinker, I don't know. You know, let's say Allmark bounces back then in Game 4 with a shutout performance. Like, do you really go back to Swayman for Game 5? I don't know. And I hope that we get to see it just because it makes a really great conversation. But that's something that I think is pretty rare. And so it works for Boston. But I wouldn't rush to that kind of approach if I were Carolina.
Jamie Hirsch, NHL Network. Jamie, before we let you go, every team, every dedicated fan base gets lost in your own bubble in the postseason, and I think a lot of people are still catching their breath from Game 2. But looking at the league as a whole, the postseason as a whole, who do you think's been the most impressive and kind of, you know, the most everyone always wants to peak in the postseason?
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to look at a team like the Rangers, but they kind of peaked the whole last 3 months. So I don't know. I mean, they're the obvious answer, right? They're the President's Trophy winners.
Yep.
They're the team to beat right now. And they've dominated so far in the two games against the Capitals. But, you know, I think I look at what Vegas did the other night, and, you know, we can definitely dive into the Mark Stone situation, LTIR controversy, et cetera. But they certainly look like a force to be reckoned with. And the fact that last year's Western Conference final is now a first-round playoff series between Vegas and Dallas is phenomenal for the game. Really a treat for us fans, but also sad to see one of those teams have to go home at the end of this couple weeks here, because I think Dallas is a really great Stanley Cup pick for a lot of people out there. I think Vegas might win the series, and that would shock a lot of people to have, you know, the number one seed in the West go home in the first round. But that's just how good the Western Conference is. So for anyone listening out there who is kind of locked into that Carolina Eastern Conference bubble, like, take a look at some of those late games, because, you know, what Connor McDavid's doing out in Edmonton, they're playing tonight, and Dallas and Vegas, like, those series are going to be just a grind. So I would say keep an eye on the Western Conference, because there's some really good talent this year out there.
Jamie, we appreciate you for jumping on the Heister Automotive Group hotline, and we'll continue to follow along with all your coverage and discussions on NHL Network.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Once again, Jamie Hirsch. You can follow her on Twitter at Jamie Hirsch. That's H-E-R-S-C-H. How about that? How about that? Very against the goalie rotation, at least for the Carolina Hurricanes. Kind of like a smooth no. I think there's an argument on both sides of that, and we might even have that conversation later on in the show. But a smooth no. Rolling with Freddie.
I don't know, the extra day off in between games. Maybe that's all you need.
But then you're setting your – so then I guess game four would be Piotr Kochetkov. That would work a little bit. We'll have to talk about it, I think.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of this.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Goal! Learn how you can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.